All right. What's up, everybody? A full or almost full lineup of the Curfew Boys tonight, Saturday night, May 11th. Myself, Sammy, with Jesus. Let me go from my right to the bottom. My cousin Chris. I got Zook. I got Joey. I got Anthony.
Hey now,
Adrian.
Hey now.
What a beautiful day today was on a Saturday. Zook, it made that voice of yours fucking go up a pitch or two, huh? Look at that.
I'm wearing tight jeans today, so it's tight in that area.
Tight jeans and a nice sunny day. Yep, that'll make your balls shrink and your voice.
Wow.
How you guys all doing?
I'm exhausted. Tight jeans.
Joe, if anything, you should be the last person that talks about wearing tight pants with your fucking male camel toe picture in that you posted on Instagram in your stories.
Okay? That's tight. Like, that's my first run in a while. I'm proud.
Men
wear tights when they run.
I'm very proud of you.
Be proud off your phone. I don't want to. Last thing I want to see is the fucking division sign within your fucking
phone.
I don't want to see that.
Then unfollow me.
Don't. What are you doing? Real men don't post their fucking tight bulging running pants on Instagram.
Real men post whatever makes them feel comfortable and happy.
Oh my God, here he is. Are you part of this whole woke movement?
No.
Okay. I am awake.
We're canceled.
No. I'm just busting your balls, Joe, because I mean they were in my face when I fucking saw that.
And you enjoyed it. Internet.
Just a little bit. And I mean, just, you know what I mean? The little I could enjoy of it was. So listen, guys, I don't know about you, but these playoffs and the rounds and these series keep getting better and better. Is it just me or ever since the Leafs fucking got eliminated?
I mean, that's it. But before we get into the playoffs, can I just say one thing? Because whoever's listening to this is going to be May 12th. I just want to wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day, because you'll be listening to this on Sunday morning. So if you're a mother and you listen to this episode, happy Mother's Day. Sorry, I had to throw that in. But
happy Mother's Day. And it's pretty bad of Sam to forget that. So we move from that.
You know what? To all the mothers out there who give birth to men like Joey, please.
I'm gonna have my mom listen to this. I'm gonna force her to listen to this now.
She'll probably say he's right.
So, Joe, yeah, probably.
Mom, your son's an alcoholic. Oh my goodness, Carolina regains the lead. Sorry. Speaking of the second round play, like
wow,
Carolina is in a do or die game tonight. Game four. They need to win this game in order to not get swept. And they just regained the lead 4-3 with just over 3 minutes left in the third period. The Rangers were down 3-1. They tied it up. And I don't know if you guys were watching this game. Lafreniere is playing like a first overall pick. He's actually flying on the ice tonight. But anyways, Carolina gets the lead. Boston's getting a fucking beating. I really think they've lost all. I don't think they've lost all motivation to win. But
it's crazy, because it's, you had said it last time. Mm-hmm. Well, the last episode you were on it, but you had sent me a text of what to say, and you said if mm-hmm. Boston plays the way they played against Toronto, they're gonna get destroyed. Mm-hmm. They came out strong game one. Like game one, I was like, wow, these guys woke up. I think they got the momentum from game seven against Toronto. They're coming out strong. They have a chance to beat Florida. But then Florida came out game two just.
So don't you think that's maybe a case of Florida just being rusty?
I think it was, yes, because they had a lot of rest, right? So
yeah, so exactly that, dude. I still don't think, like, let's be honest, the only reason why Toronto came back to tie the series is because Boston played like shit.
Yeah,
it's the only reason. Well, maybe not the only reason, but for me, it's the primary reason why Boston played like crap. Defensively, they played like crap. Swayman was the only best player for Boston. Toronto, the good thing they did was block. They blocked a lot of shots. I'll give them that. And Joseph Woll, before he got injured, was their best player. Maybe Nylander and Nice. But other than that, like, dude, the Boston, yeah, they won. Majority of Habs fans are happy the Leafs are out because they suck. You guys explained it well. They fucking stink. They stunk for so many years, and that's why Sheldon Keefe is gone. But Boston, you just see that, like, they're not the same team anymore. They're not the same without Bergeron. They're not the same without Krejci. Now, fuck it. They're not the same. They're not the same. They're not the same. Okay, great. They had a great season. The playoffs doesn't care about how good of a season you had. Let's be honest. They did. Jim Montgomery's a great coach, but
even last year when they were even.
What I mean is, like, I didn't see them play the
first round.
Yeah.
Dude, they had the best record in hockey last year, and they lost in the first round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mind you, they had a 3-1 lead and they blew it. So, like,
they can't seem to have the right recipe to move forward, Boston. I think the only reason they passed the first round, I mean, I didn't watch the series, and I'll come to asking you guys a question about it, but they only beat it's because it was the Leafs. Anybody else, I think they would have lost.
Joey was stuck in halfway across the world.
That's what I was going to ask you. So, for context, for anyone that's listening tomorrow, I did not watch a single minute of the first round. I was in Asia for a couple of weeks, so I missed the entire first round. I did follow it. What were your guys' favorite series? What was the most exciting?
You should have listened to the last episode. There's no excuse. You're in Asia. Okay. You had Spotify there. You could have listened to our podcast, and you would have listened to me and Chris's thoughts about round one. So
yes,
but ask that question. Here. Listen to our episode. Be a true fan of the Curfew Boys, and you'll get your answers.
Colorado Winnipeg was my favorite.
Okay.
Game one of Colorado.
Game one was the best hockey.
But as an overall series, overall.
I really enjoyed. Yeah, no, I enjoyed Colorado Winnipeg. I enjoyed Dallas Vegas was very underrated. I mean, Carolina Islanders 4-1, Rangers Washington 4-0. Besides Toronto, Florida. Florida Tampa would, like, even though it was 4-1 series, I don't know. For me, the most exciting series was Colorado Winnipeg, even if they won 4-1 series. Like, every game was exciting.
Colorado, yeah. The pace.
Yeah, the pace was great.
Winnipeg and, still kept it in, like, even
though. Yeah, exactly. Yes, I agree.
Even though they got destroyed this 4-1 series, they still had hope every game. Like, they still put up a fight against Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that was the only series I thought would be an upset this whole round one, right? I chose one. Like, so you guys remember, I've been saying since February, it'd be Colorado, Florida, Stanley Cup Finals. Okay, I still stand by that.
You might get it, actually.
Last minute, I changed Winnipeg. Reason why I went with Winnipeg last minute was because I was listening to 690 of Feudal Podcasts, and there was something about Winnipeg the last 10 games of their season or 15 games of their season where, you know, Hellebuyck was showing he's a Vezina goalie. And you know my view on hot goalies in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I actually thought the way the season ended for Winnipeg, mm-hmm. Hellebuyck and the team was going to come out strong and just kill it. And game one, you saw that. You saw that fight, Winnipeg, Colorado. They went back and forth. The speed, the goalies. And I'm like, okay, Winnipeg stands a chance here to upset Colorado. And then just Colorado just turned on the switch and just killed it after.
But even for Hellebuyck, they won that first game like 7-5, something like that. Like, even for Hellebuyck to allow 5 goals is still...
So a lot.
Yeah. It's because Georgiev, or Georgiev, how you pronounce his name, like he that was his worst game. And then he flipped the switch too, and I think that's a big reason why Colorado won. Just too much star power.
It's funny, between the first round where you guys say the exciting series is out west, and same with the second round. From what I've seen so far, I prefer the West series between Dallas and Colorado. Yeah. And I've been liking Canucks Oilers more than Rangers Carolina and Boston Florida.
Yeah,
but the Rangers. But Rangers Carolina is exciting too, though. Like, these are
two
fast-paced teams. But yeah, I
see. Southwest has been beating the pace out east for me so far.
Yeah, and I think Carolina Carolina avoids being swept and eliminated. They won this game. Wow, they needed that. But I still think the Rangers are, man. Let the record be known that my first round bracket is perfect. I called everyone. I really thought the Hurricanes was going to beat the Rangers in 7, and I think that's going to be the prediction that kills my bracket. And I also picked Vancouver. I picked Vancouver to beat Edmonton in seven.
Look, Rangers flipped the switch. I mean, we've always, and unreal. I spoke at last episode. Rangers had a good first round, but I don't know what it is, but they're coming out strong this second round.
They're unreal. Yeah.
To the point where I like foresee them beating Florida if they play Florida in round three.
I think that's the matchup for round three.
But who's the who's the one difference maker in this series? Between the Rangers and Carolina.
Well, if you're gonna say Lafreniere, it's not only him. No. It's also Kreider, Zibanejad. It's been a whole team effort. It's been just an outstanding team effort, and I think it's a great opportunity to say there's something special, like you said, going on with the New York Rangers. Even when they talk, they very much. I hate to say it, but they feel like they belong. They speak with that confidence that, like, hey, we're going to get the job done. We'll see you in the finals.
Let me add one more thing, though, please. What about Igor Shesterkin making over 100 saves in two games? Almost.
Has it led over two goals for multiple games? Well, I don't think that counts tonight, but before then, it was just back-to-back-to-back-to-back,
He's been unreal. Like, okay, he probably had an off night tonight. I didn't see the full game, but it was just a back-and-forth pace hockey game. This series just got a little bit more exciting. But
I'm going to say analytically a spun to it is Carolina, and they've been doing this for a little while. They have a lot of puck possession. They shoot a lot, but they don't create a lot of danger. I'm saying analytically, the physics is actually showing that they're not creating a lot of danger as they should for a team like Carolina, and that's kind of killing them this series.
They need a Gallagher within their lineup, Joey.
Okay, not the present one, sure, but yeah. I can certainly see the danger in front of the net for sure.
Because somebody said that Martin Nietzsche needs to be a little bit more in the danger area.
Yeah, they're lacking that.
He's a little bit too much playing on the perimeters, and they need him to get a little bit more in the danger zone.
But that's one of the major differences between playoff hockey. It's harder to get in those areas, I find.
Yeah, because it gets a lot rougher.
That's why people want a bigger team because bigger players have an easier, access to those danger areas within the playoffs.
But
it's a balance.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you guys are saying good points here.
Can we reiterate just to slowly but surely, for those who are convinced, just continue to brainwash them and remind them that Arbor Jack Eye does not go anywhere. That's exactly what you need in the playoffs. Just keep that in the back of your mind. He's going to be our fifth or sixth defenseman. Okay, just a reminder. A few times.
I don't think anybody is questioning that, Chris, but it's a good point.
I want to go back to the Rangers. I mean, okay, this is, conspiracy Anthony moment session. I don't know if I sent you guys the clip. I think I didn't because I didn't want you guys to attack me because of my conspiracy. But if Rangers do win the Stanley Cup this year, if they do, so I'm not saying it's fixed. I'm not saying it's just coincidence. It could be coincidence, but history repeats itself from 1995.
You mean 94?
94. Sorry, 94. Yeah.
We're not there. We're not there yet.
Go back to 94. OJ was a talk of the year with the whole chase and everything.
And now he died.
Now he died as a whole big talk about OJ. And there's something else that happened in 94 that's happening now that matches. I sent you guys I didn't send it to you guys because I don't want you guys to see it.
What else happened in 94?
Two things that happened in 94 that are happening now. What the hell is the balloons happening?
That means Illuminati's after you. The Illuminati's coming after you.
So there's two life things that happened in 94 that's happening now in 2024. Mm-hmm. And Rangers won that year. Okay. And it's happening the same way. I'm going to try to find that clip and send it to you guys. But
you're going to leave us hanging like that?
You want to talk conspiracy? I'm going to
find it, but...
Yeah, but Anthony, talking about conspiracy, there was somebody who put out on Twitter, I genuinely don't know if they were just fucking around, but somebody put out on Twitter like a Stanley Cup. You know how they prepared like the banners and the championship stuff? Yeah. They showed Rangers versus Colorado in the finals.
It's yeah, it's fucking oh, look, bro. Look, Wolfie.
I saw okay. that too, but my
and, guys,
let's go Sam, back. I have an amazing blooper for this. I think Anthony, when we come up with the topics, we should put like some blooper where Anthony's just you see him searching on Google on a clip of conspiracy theories about but our
we need behind the scenes cameras though. We need to install cameras in this basement.
He's like,
this, you, I'm gonna find this clip conspiracy. And you're gonna freak out again. It's something I saw. And okay. it's falling. Like, if it happens, we'll go back to that clip.
Okay, that sounds good. Listen, we might as well get to it. The lottery draft. Everyone selected or is going to select where they finished. Okay.
First time in a while.
And for the second straight draft, the Montreal Canadiens are going to select fifth overall. Let's just remind everyone what the odds were for the Canadiens. So they obviously had an 8.5% chance to pick first overall, 8.6 to pick the second, 0.3 for third. They had no odds to pick number fourth, which they couldn't. So at number five, they had the 24.5% chance of picking. Then at number six, this is weird, 44% chance of picking number six.
No, it's normal, Sam.
I understand it's normal, but in my mind, Joey, like things are always weird, including you and your story picture. Anyways.
You're still on that. You're still
thinking. I'm never going to let that one go, Joey. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. And at number seven, 14.2, the Canadians obviously picked number five. And I know Anthony and a bunch of other people on Twitter posted at one point that the Canadiens were one number off lottery, like lottery pick number selection. They were one off of getting the first overall. I mean, hey, it is what it is. It shit happens. But I mean, I personally think we're still in a good position. But did anybody else get a feeling that, hey, maybe, just maybe, or is this the fucking... Is this the casino effect? You think you're gonna win and you never do.
I thought we were gonna end fifth again. Mm-hmm. I just thought history was repeating itself that way. I didn't think we were moving up or down. I just had no hope for some. I had more hope last year that we would have ended top three, not this year. Though. I don't know why.
We're talking about like gut feeling here. You know, it's our reaction video was pretty funny. Like I think Chris's reaction.
And just to specify on that, I'm not pissed off. Like, I'm very happy with five. We're going to get a very good player. But to answer your question, I was really, really hoping that we were going to jump up. I really thought that.
Wait. Don't answer that just yet. Hold on a second.
I bet I jumped the gun.
Joe, don't fucking jump the gun yet. I know you're wearing tight pants. Don't fucking blow your load.
No, they're very loose. You want
to
see?
No, thank you. Do not show this to the audience either. So, speaking, I'm going slightly off subject, but speaking of the word tabarnak, did you guys see Chantal Maccabé on La Poche Bleue podcast? I think with Lafrenière and Latendesse. Apparently, an Anglophone player, she didn't reveal a name, said after this win, when you know Marc Denis talks to the players, just a mini interview at the end of the game when they win. One player asked, is it okay if I ended off saying merci tabarnak? And she's obviously said no. Like, she's like, no, don't. But there was a good reaction amongst like the fan base where it's like, yeah, fucking say it. Like, especially from coming from an Anglophone. So the Curfew Boys tweeted like, screw it. The Bell Center would have exploded had they allowed that. And obviously for TV ratings and you know, they can't, but anyways, I just wanted to bring that story up. Okay. Okay, Joey. At pick number five, I think you're the one person here who does not want to see a defenseman get selected. Now,
not even a
pick. But it's defense heavy. So that's the problem. Well, the top picks are defense heavy.
Okay.
But yeah, we have choices at five. So I would still rather go best player available, but I'm hoping at that spot, it's not a defenseman or they trade up.
Oof. What do you think they'd have to give up to trade up though?
Like, it depends what team.
Well, it depends.
It depends which team.
You have Anaheim, you have Columbus, and you have Chicago. And Chicago. Chicago's not going to give it up.
No,
I don't think Chicago's going to give it up.
Would you guys do this, Caulfield and Anaheim, and your fifth for Marner?
No.
No,
I wouldn't either, but no. There's a rumor.
No, Marner's a free agent at the end of next season. Hell no.
Anthony, it's your turn to listen to our last episode. What the fuck? You're correcting Joey and telling him to listen to the last episode. We shot on Marner for like fucking 20 minutes straight.
I didn't say I want to do that. I said I heard about it. I saw a rumor about that.
I saw that too, Anthony.
Thank you, Sammy. I like
Marner's performance in the playoffs. Not for this deal. I would take him. He actually has good underlying.
I found the video, by the way. My theory, conspiracy theory. You guys want to hear it?
Hurry up, go.
Take Marner.
Okay, hold on.
Not in that deal. You wouldn't.
Joe, hold on a sec. I want to see Anthony's thing first.
Okay, hold on. You guys see my screen? Watch this. You guys ready?
Hold on. The screen.
Up this year. Here's how I found out. We are officially living in 1994 again. Like, the parallels between this year and 94 are fucking crazy. In 1994, we saw a crazy earthquake, the Northridge one in LA. But honestly, even crazier was the earthquake in New York City. Yeah, it wasn't huge, but it was the first one there since the 1880s. In 1994, we had a solar eclipse. 2024, same shit. Look at the path they're taking, very similar. In 1994, the famous OJ Simpson car chase and trial, and just recently he passed. 1994, Blink-182 releases their first album, Buddha. In 2024, Blink-182 is going on tour because their final album ever was released. In 1994, both the New York Knicks and Rangers had 50 plus wins. In 2024, both the Rangers and Knicks had 50 plus wins. In 1994, the Knicks clinched the 2 seed in the East. And in 2024, the Knicks clinched the 2 seed in the East. In 1994, the New York Rangers won the President's Trophy for the best record in the NHL and then went on to win the Stanley Cup. In 2024, the Rangers won the President's Trophy. And they're winning the Stanley Cup this year, baby. The curse comes to an end. Finally, a team that wins the President's Trophy wins it all this year. This is a special fucking team. It's their destiny.
Dude, that's just a New York Rangers fan that's just desperate and hoping.
I swear, Anthony looked this up all day.
I swear to you, this game. But look how fucking crazy it is. If it happens, it's fucking like what's his name? Zook said before. It's rigged. You know?
No, Joey, I would not. I'm sorry. Marner's not a playoff player for now.
He's in the wrong team.
I will send it to you later.
He has good numbers in the playoffs. He just doesn't have a team around him.
I believe you, Joe, but he doesn't have a team. Man, What's the stat for balls and heart?
What's the stat for balls and heart?
At that money, Joe? No fucking way, man.
Even
though
his name, Dubois is not doing well.
Dude, don't even mention Dubois. In
but
this
just
fucking
to say, we all said Dubois was in the wrong team with the wrong players, and look, he's not fucking doing anything in LA.
Dude, we dodged that fucking player, like dodging the fucking player.
Aren't they buying him out this summer? Apparently,
they're not gonna buy him out. No, Joe. Let's get back to who we think the Canadiens are gonna select, and like, here's my thinking. Whoever the Canadiens pick, they need to make sure that this player obviously is going to help them make the playoffs and in hopes of winning the Stanley Cup. But the real thing that especially teams now have to consider when they build their team is how to get past their division rivals. Like, we got to make sure that this team is built to beat Boston. If we face them in the playoffs, to beat Toronto, if we face them again in the playoffs,
Sam, anyone
maybe
beat Toronto, I wouldn't.
No, Joe, come on, you understand my fucking point here. Maybe to beat Ottawa if we face them, maybe Buffalo, dude. Right now, can this team beat a Florida Panthers if we face them in the second round? So you get my fucking point. This is why I personally think I'm only talking about me here. This is why the Canadiens, if this player is available, Caden Lindstrom, the biggest forward projected to go in the first round of this coming draft at 6'4", over 200 pounds.
216.
He's Canadian version of Juraj Slafkovský.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to go as far as say like he's another Brady Tkachuk, but he could be. And this is going to fucking stop the way we surpass Brady Tkachuk, that's going to stop haunting us if we select Caden Lindstrom. This is a forward that could play center. He's playing center and junior, but you could put him on the wing and who could wreak havoc for the defenseman of the Florida Panthers, the defenseman of the Buffalo Sabres, for example, with Owen Power, Bowen Byram, Rasmus Dahlin, who could fucking wreak havoc for the defenseman of the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. Can you imagine? You have two lines on your left wing. You have to deal with a Juraj Slafkovský coming after you. And now, then after that, you're going to have to deal with a Caden Lindstrom. I want to hear what you guys think. For me, personally, if this kid is available and Demidov is taken second overall, because that's where I think he's going to go. I know a lot of fans have their hearts set on Tejas Iginla, Jerome Iginla's son, and I understand why. But I think Caden Lindstrom just is a notch above this kid. I'm opening the floor to you guys. I really want to hear all of you what you think.
You think Lidstrom's a notch above Demidov?
No.
Is that what you said?
No. Iginla.
Oh, Iginla. Okay, I didn't hear Iginla.
No, I don't think he's a notch above Demidov. I think he's going to go second. But, dude, when Bob McKenzie goes on air and says, listen, it's so unsure who's going
second.
He's what he's saying. He's like, yeah, there's a very good chance that Demidov is going to go second. He goes, but between picks two and five, it's up in the air, basically.
Is there no chance of a defenseman going second?
I think so, Joe.
Anaheim needs a defenseman.
They're third.
Anaheim's third.
Yeah, third, yeah.
Because Chicago, you can get a franchise defenseman.
There's that kid Lechnikov or whatever. He's Russian.
Yes, there's two of them that you can get a franchise defenseman that could be worth more than a scoring winger.
Yeah, but
it really depends on the direction Blackhawks go in, because if they end up going with a defenseman, Anaheim certainly might want to take the other. There's your trade partner for me. If you really want Demidov, that's my pick, by the way. I don't think he'll last at five, but if you really want him and he doesn't get picked second, I think Anaheim's a good trade partner because you can still get that defenseman at fifth given what Columbus might do. So
you would, and good point there, Joey, with all the defenseman depth that we have, you can even throw that in the mix, you know, for Anaheim.
Anaheim needs
a defense. Like, they need a defense. Defenseman. We have a bunch. And I have a strong feeling just to answer your question, Sam, I would love to have Lindstrom if everything falls into place, like Demidov number two and Celebrity number one, and we have Lindstrom. Why do I want that? Like you said, we need, watching Slafkovský play the last season, having that big forward on that ice playing the way he's playing, and you have your two small players like Caulfield and Suzuki, and then you have your big Slafkovský, who's talented. Add in Lindstrom with a talented forward, two big guys, two small guys. You have the speed talent, and you have the big guy talent. That's going to be a fucking dangerous team to have, right? We're going to be very similar to the Boston Bruins in the past, but just a bit grit and speed mixed together. It's a perfect formula. That being said, and that's what I would want to see, but I have a strong feeling with the depth that we have and how Hughes's mindset is and how his view is, I have a feeling we're going to be trading that pick. I don't know how and where, but we're trading that pick. That's how I foresee the future.
Yeah, Zook, you really wanted to say something?
Yeah. I'm all for drafting a sizable forward. My only fear is his skating.
Yeah, but he's gonna.
That's my only fear. Which means if he's lagging behind in that department, it could be at least 1 to 2 years before we even see him. So,
yeah, dude, whoever we're drafting this year is playing one more year in junior. We're not gonna see that player until a full season.
Would Lindstrom even last though, Sam? Given it all depends on Columbus, right? Like if Demidov does end up going second,
Columbus scares me. because I don't know what Columbus needs, because they have a couple of forwards. They also have a couple of defensemen.
Yeah. They're, they just go best player available.
Like, don't forget, they drafted the David Yerichek, and then after that, they drafted two defensemen in 2022, and then they drafted Fantilli. And then they still have Kent Johnson, but who has a history of injuries. They still have Johnny Gaudreau. If Patrick Laine, you know, if he gets his mental health better, if he gets out of the players' assistance program, he's going to come back. I mean, Patrick Laine is still a great player. It all comes down to what Columbus is going to do. I looked at Anaheim's depth chart, and them too, they have defensemen. Now, their GM, Pat Verbeek, said, we're looking for one more top six forward, but we're also looking for a top four defenseman, preferably a right-handed shot.
That's why I think they go defenseman Anaheim.
But this is my question. Is he talking about the draft, or is he talking about an established NHLer at this very moment?
They'll never say it. They'll never be clear.
And we can give him whatever they want. We have established players like, you know, Barron and Struble and Gulli. And you have...
You would trade Caden Gulli for that.
I wouldn't. But like I said, we are missing a top forward. I think our missing piece right now is one more top forward and then build our depth, okay? If Gulli is part of the mix to get a top forward, I see it happening. I do. Now,
it's hard.
But I don't want to get rid of Gulli. I love him. And I think that he's going to be, you know, someone we need in the future. He's our franchise defenseman, like the Markovs, you know, and I really think, I hope so. And that's what I want. I don't want to lose him. So that being said, I also think one last thing, and then you can, I lost my train of thought.
Sorry about that.
Fuck. No, it's all good.
Did you get it back?
Yeah, Demidov. That's it. I do see him going to Chicago. Why? After getting what's his name last year?
Bedard
and Demidov. It's like the Taze and Hossa put together. It's gonna be a repeat. Like,
you mean Taze and Kane?
Kane. Fuck him.
Hossa was another depth player they brought, and it fucking
So the Kane and Taze is gonna be a repeat, you know, of Demidov and Bedard. That's why I see Chicago picking him right away.
That's a good point.
Chicago is rebuilding their team the way they built their team a few years back. So be careful with Chicago. They're going to be that franchise team once again if they get Demidov.
My fear is you see the way Anaheim traded Jamie Drysdale, and that's why I still think they want to draft they're going to draft the defenseman to replace him. But you see the way they traded him to get a potential star centerman in Cutter Gauthier from the Flyers. You see the way Colorado traded Bowen Byram to Buffalo to get a centerman that's going to help them potentially win the cup this year in Casey Mittelstadt. Like, that scares me that maybe to get that star forward that the Canadians need, they might use Caden Gulli as that trade bait. That actually scares me. And I don't want it. I don't think any of us here want it. I don't think any Habs fans want it. But if you want quality, you have to trade quality. If you want a star, you have to trade a star.
And that's what I said.
If you want a potential star, you have to trade a potential star.
And that's what I've been saying the last few episodes. I said, we're going to be getting rid of someone good, okay, and return someone good as well. Now, the thing that scares me the most is, and again, time will tell, is if we're going to choose the right person, right? Like, are we going to get rid of the right one for the right one? Are we
going to
make that mistake?
That's the thing. It's going one step forward to go one step back. Like, it's going to be very tricky.
Houston Gordon won't do that. If they're going to get rid of Caden Gulli, they're going to make sure that they get someone
but that's
like that might be... could be a top 10 player in the league.
Well, look, but we also have, as Anthony was saying before, we have the depth in D. So, like, isn't that really bad? Like, so if we lose a Gulli, we have good kids coming up.
Perfect example. We all freaked out like when Romanov left for Doc. Okay. right now, currently, we don't know if that trade was a good one or not. I think it's neutral right now because we haven't seen Doc perform yet because of his injury. And good chance that injury could fuck us up going forward because he is injury prone, right? I think him healthy is a great pick because Romanov is not doing that great. Well, he's doing good, but not like, oh my God, we miss him type guy.
But Romanov was never going to be a top four defenseman on this team.
Yes, but we all thought so at the beginning.
Yeah, but a second round pick versus Gouley, a first round pick, third best defenseman of his draft. You know what I mean?
It's because when we had him, Sam, we didn't have the depth of D that we have now, too.
Well, we did.
I don't think so. It was right before.
It was slightly before, but we drafted Gouley. Jacki was in the radar. Jordan Harris was in the radar.
Harris was. I remember Harris.
Harris.
You never know how they're going to pan out, right? Now we have a clearer idea. Like, we have NHL reliable defensemen that probably other teams need, and they can certainly trade for one of them.
Chris, I want to hear what your thoughts are. You haven't said anything yet.
You want to know about what I think the Canadians are drafting? Because I want to start actually with Caden Gooley.
Tell us how you feel.
Tell us how you feel, Craig.
Feel good. Feel good.
We're here.
Besides the point, Caden Gooley I don't think is going anywhere. Caden Gooley is not going to be our best defenseman. He's not going to be our number one defenseman, but he's going to be the most important. He's going to be the leader on defense. He is going to guide that group. He's not going anywhere. I have more fear that they stupidly go and they move a guy like Logan Mailloux. I really hope that's not the case, but I have more fear that it'll be that. In terms of who they're drafting, I'm going to say three things. If he doesn't get drafted, I think Demidov comes to the Canadiens. If both Demidov and Lindstrom are off the board, I would not be terribly disappointed if we have Zane Parekh. But in all honesty, the pick that I totally agree with you, Sammy, there's no point in repeating it, but I'll go on another angle. Look at Matthew Tkachuk in the playoffs. If this guy comes in and he's more aggressive than Slafkovský, and please, I am dying to talk about Slafkovský in the World Championships, but
later,
if he can be more aggressive and more feisty, more like either of the Tkachuk brothers, that is exactly what you need to go into war come playoff time. So if he's going to be that guy, my God, eyes closed. Absolutely. That's my pick.
Awesome. So today on Instagram, we asked our followers, we put on a poll asking them who they would want select the most out of, like, at least these four forwards that potentially could go top five, top six, definitely top 10. So we asked between the four forwards, we asked about Caden Lindstrom, to select between Caden Lindstrom, Tyshe Ginla, Cole Yzerman, and Ivan Demidov. So I'll start with the least voted for, Cole Yzerman at 7%, which at some point in time, I actually thought that they might go for this kid because he's connected within the Boston area and he's beaten Cole Caulfield's record in the development league by a goal. Right now, our followers voted him at 7%. At 22%, Tyshe Ginla. Okay, so he came in as number three. At number two, Caden Lidstrom, 31% of voters voted for him. Duh. And at 39%, Ivan Demidov. So, you know what? If the Canadians do select a defenseman because they really feel that the defenseman is the next best available player, then you know a trade has to come for a forward. And I think they go down that route of like another Kirby Doc type of trade, Alex Newhook type of trade. Or maybe they're going after a certain free agent. And I'm not going to say Steven Stamkos, but maybe they're going after an RFA where they think if they give a qualifying offer that the team can't, they could give up whatever fucking picks they have to because we do have a surplus. That could be an option too. I personally don't see it happening. And this is part of the excitement though. Like, I never thought we would be like still wondering and questioning the direction. Like, we know where this rebuild is going, kinda, but we still don't know everything. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys feel the same way. Like,
I do, and it's partly Kent Hughes' fault because he was even asked that question right in one of the press conferences, and he's like, "Listen, anything's on the table. If the right, you know, if the right offer comes his way that he sees, you know, trading and you know a current asset for something that they're missing or whatnot comes their way, they're going to seriously consider it." So that answer leaves it open, and you know, ambiguous right now for us to guess and assume, which creates this excitement, right? So I don't know, man. I seriously think what you just said about if we were to draft a defenseman, absolutely they're gonna go for somebody, you know, they're trading for either a UFA or not trading by or whatnot, not UFA but trading for like a Kirby Doc type of player or Alex Newhook. But I want to add, do you think that's going to push forward the team? Will that speed up the rebuild process? Because a new hook isn't a game changer per se.
No, it can't be a new hook.
As a Stamkos or, you know, as an, you know, as a forward that we really need right now to propel this forward.
Zook, you're a little lagging in like your face right now. Okay. Anyways, you're back. I think it's gonna have to be for a top six forward. If they're not gonna draft a forward that they really see being part of the top six, then they're gonna have to trade for one, because I love Alex Newhook. I think he deserves a shot on the second line, but as long as Josh Anderson is still there and we keep kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt, especially for his big body and his speed at the moment, for maybe one more year, I don't know if Newhook gets that chance. As long as we still have Christian Dvorak as a centerman, I don't see Newhook being the third line centerman. So I think Newhook gets a chance on the second line with Kirby Doc this year. But if they do pick a forward this coming draft, you know that forward is going to be a top six, without a doubt. It had to, he has to be. Like, he has to be. Otherwise, this draft will be considered a flop, in my opinion.
What about the possibility if the forward's not there and they see they might not be able to trade for forward right away and they're not sure? What about the possibility of trading down? Has that ever come to mind?
Sure. But it depends who you want to trade down.
I haven't looked at trade partners or... or whatever the case is.
But... I mean, do you trade towards I don't know. I mean, Ottawa had to give up their pick. I think Arizona is now Utah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't see them. No, I don't see.
I don't see it either. I'm just saying, if anyone's thought of it, they don't get the forward they want, and they look at it saying, "Well, we can either pick this defenseman who is not the." Who's not the top two? There's, I think that what's his name, Paquet, is the third defenseman. I think the third prospect, the one who scored like an abundance of points. They're calling him like a kind of like a Carlson type of defenseman.
I have Zane Parekh here. I have Parekh. Zane Parekh, who plays for Saginaw, teammate of Owen Beck too. Like, if they pick him, I wouldn't be that disappointed, but he's a right-handed shot, and we know that they're not as deep on the right side compared to the left side.
Oh, we know that from linebacker. We definitely know that.
So now that I'm thinking about this, and like a light bulb just went off in my head, I think no matter what, like let's say Lidstrom is taken, Demidov is taken. A defenseman, either like, my God, I have a hard time pronouncing these names. Either Levshunov or even...
the best one is the one from Belarus, Sam. I say Belarus because I, the name...
It's Anton Silaev. Yeah, he's from Belarus. Oh no, sorry.
No,
not him. Leshunov. You're right. Yes. Well, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. But dude, there's even Sam Dickinson too, the Canadian kid on the left side. But I don't see them taking him. I truly think, Joe, even if a defenseman's available, and is the best player at number five, if Lidstrom's gone, Demidov is obviously going to be gone. I really think they go for Teja Ginla.
So you know he wouldn't be the best player available. It's probably going to be one of those three defensemen, and you still think he would go with Ginla?
You know what? I'm going to make that bold prediction. I'm going to make this fun. I think he goes for a forward, no matter what.
Okay, that might he might. He's obviously smart enough to do this. I think he will look around to see what's available in terms of actual forwards to trade for. And if he sees it's too much of a gamble, he might just end up picking one and kind of going a little more conservative rather than trading for one. Because it's hard. We don't even know who's available. We've talked about Zegras. We've talked about...
That's still a high rumor, eh? Like, I don't know.
We never knew Doc's availability. We never knew Newhook.
But hold on. I want to ask you this. Is Zegras... What's his salary prediction? Because...
Standby. He's getting paid five... I know he's at 5-point-something million right now.
Because do you see him coming here and still getting paid under... Suzuki, because again, I still strongly believe
He's got 2 years left at 5.75.
He has no choice the first 2 years. Yeah.
Okay. Good, because I think the vision of this team is it's Suzuki's team, right? He's going to be the highest paid player of this team. Like, we're not going to get anybody who is going to get paid more than him right now.
Well, that's the vision. I don't know if I see it that way. Even if it's his team, if a guy gets paid more, I don't know.
I think the way we're building this team is from bottom up, right? And I don't see Hughes and Gordon bringing in, that's why I don't think Marner or Nylander or anybody would come here, because I think we're building this team off.
Well,
Caulfield got signed and they paid him a little short than Suzuki, it was obvious that. Hey guys, Suzuki.
Well, he is a little shorter than Suzuki too. So I mean, that's why.
I think we should aim to get better than Suzuki to match with Suzuki. I don't think we should be the best forward.
I know, but I see.
You're telling me Juraj Slafkovský, the way he's progressing and what he could potentially be. You're telling me he's not going to get paid more than Suzuki?
Not right now.
High possibility, yes, for me.
There you go. Thank you for taking that's. I was already interrupting Anthony to say if there's one guy on this team already that might end up breaking the bank and going past Suzuki, it's going to be Slafkovský. I think it's a great transition into the discussion about what this kid is doing at the World Championships, because for the Montreal Canadiens fans who have not been able to keep up with some of the games going on in the mid-afternoon and whatnot, Juraj Slafkovský is doing just something that is mouth-watering, just eye candy, whatever you want to call it. He's doing something very, very, very special.
I'm going to add to this, Chris, real quick. Anthony, it doesn't make sense how a 20-year-old kid like him is carrying Slovakia, not just the team, but the country on his shoulders.
No. Slafkovský, like, really flipped the switch, man. Like, he's having a great year. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve more than Suzuki. I'm just saying... Again, it's the way, the mentality, the hockey that Hughes and Gordon is bringing back to the Montreal Canadiens dressing room. It's the mindset of this team. I get it, you know, Joey. Like, let's build a team that's better than Suzuki or whatever. I get that, but there's a vision that I see Hughes and Gordon is doing, and I think they're leaving it. That's their standards. You know, like,
Hold on, Joe. Hold that thought. I just want to get back to, I interrupted Chris very rudely. Go, Chris, just finish with what you were saying, and then we'll get to Joe.
If there's one thing that is standing out more than anything, is that Slafkovský is playing like a genuine power forward. There's been some evident signs of playmaking, there's been evident signs of scoring ability. But he is playing like a true power forward. And a guy of his stature, if he comes back and he plays as aggressively at that, I know we had this discussion before the podcast even began. The Europeans are particularly proud to represent their country. They bring it up. They leave it all out on the ice. But if somebody, if Cole Caulfield, if Nick Suzuki just leans in and says, look, you made your country proud. Time for you to do the exact same thing for the Montreal Canadiens. Honest to God, Slafkovský will become instantly one of the best, if not the best, power forward in the whole league. He's going to completely change the Montreal Canadiens team all around. And he's just going to be brutally hard to play against. And I think his points are just going to shoot upwards at a rate that we would have never expected or would not be ready to bet on at this moment in time.
But Joel, Joel, what did you want to say before?
Well, this is good what Chris mentioned with Slafkovský. So guys like him, I think the mentality, what Anthony was saying, and you can use Slafkovský as an example, I always think you should try to get better than already what you have. No matter, unless you're McDavid, I think you should always, so if you have Suzuki, as good as he is, you should always aim to get better in terms of better players. Like, I'm not saying just talent-wise. I'm saying complete, having you win a Stanley Cup. So even if you have, so getting Slafkovský could be a sign of getting someone better. And I think they should always aim to get better players, no matter who they have on their team. Just saying, how can we get better than what we are now?
But I think, the way I see this team being built, and I'm not disagreeing with anything you guys are saying, Slafkovský, yes, probably will deserve more than Suzuki if he continues playing the way he's playing or whatever case may be. But I believe that Gorton and Hughes are building this team so strategically, even in an amazing way, like they're trying to avoid the same mistakes the past did with the salary cap, and also the same mistakes every other NHL team is doing, right? All these amazing hockey teams who are winning cups, but then they cannot afford to continue winning or building a dynasty because they can't afford to keep their players. If Gorton and Hughes build this team at that $8 million mark, and you have this fucking talented team at the $8 million range, this dynasty can continue going because you can afford to re-sign these players, bring new players in, not to a point where you have to dismantle your team like Toronto's probably doing or Tampa is doing. Look, Tampa won back-to-back.
Vegas too.
But everybody's going to go through that. It's just
everybody's going to go through that, but I don't think Gorton Hughes is building that team this way. I think they're trying a different strategy like everybody else.
Anthony, the word that you're looking for is Gorton Hughes are building a team that is selfless. The Tampa Bay Lightning and the other example of a team that has been able to stay competitive for so long, Brad Marchand is making $6.5 million. $6.5 million, captain of the Boston Bruins, putting up crazy points for years on end. Those teams, the selfless teams, the teams that are not going to be racing to go deposit their checks at the bank, you know, line them up with great wealth advisors and people are going to manage their money to make their money back. But selfless team will last for a long time.
And that's what happens for many years. That's what happens when you have Kent Hughes, an ex-agent, as your GM.
He knows how to manage money. And I think
I really think if you look back at the story of Patrice Bergeron, who deserved a fucking pay raise, being the best centerman in the team, and he accepted less so better players on the Bruins could get paid so they could better their chances at winning a Stanley Cup. And I think
it's hard to find these days, Sam, when you
kind of ish. I think
yeah, no, actually, no, you're wrong because
well, look, it really depends, man. It depends on the agents, it depends on the players. There's so many factors into this thing. But look, don't kid yourself, Ant. Suzuki got paid $10 million this year, total salary. Just the cap, it's 7.875, yeah. and that's Bergevin that signed him, not Ken Hughes. Suzuki's making another $10 million next year, and then it drops 8.75, then it drops 6.25, then it drops 6 million. As he gets older, it drops. Yeah. Okay, this is what it is right now. Like, general managers are starting to realize. Besides Bergevin with the Gallagher contract, general managers right now are realizing that, like, listen, we're going to pay these kids the big money now, pay them what they're kind of worth and what they'll be worth potentially, like that when they do drop in quality as they get older, which is normal, we're not paying them as much. I see that kind of for now with Slafkovský, and he's going to be 21 when he signs his new contract. So like you sign him for another 8 years till he's 29 years old, man, I could see him getting paid 10 million if he performs the way he's projected to.
And I'm going to say
just one more thing, guys, this is something to consider. It also comes down to if whatever players they're going to find, what's your role? What's going to be your role on this team? It's not just about what you're worth, but what is your role?
And that's why,
when it comes to this rebuild.
And I think that's, again, back to what I was saying before, this team is not being built of high paid players, talented players. He's building his team as a unit, okay? They're building the team from scratch, like I was always been saying. These young players who are nobodies, okay? Just projected talented players with experience that we all think, right? And you're building a team from scratch. You're building a team together as a family. Chemistry is being built from the beginning. They don't care about money at this point. They're young kids. They're not going to come to the dressing room and say, hey, I want my $10, $15 million. No, they're trying to prove themselves. But I think Hughes and Gordon is coming into the room, already shared the vision to this team and said, guys, you know, if you want to stay here and win Stanley Cups, this is how we're going to do it. Don't come here and asking for a pay raise, please. You know, sorry to say this, Joey. I know you're not going to like this comparison, but I'm sorry. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say it straight. And you have to admit that it's true. This is how the Patriots did it. They were they were a dynasty for fucking 20 years. Why? Tom Brady, who deserved a lot more than he fucking got, okay, kept getting a pay cut.
He just ruined the podcast.
No, he kept getting a pay cut year over year over year because it allowed Belichick and Kraft to bring talented players on this team at a good salary because Brady, who deserved fucking the world, kept getting a cut to bring in players to help him win.
So are we going to see deflating puck soon or something?
Shut up. For 20 fucking years. Okay? For 20 years. And that's how dynasties are built, and that's how dynasties are going to last that long. Okay? Lately, all the dynasties in hockey lasted 2-3 seasons. Why? Because you're paying people too much
money. Because the Stanley Cup is the hardest fucking trophy to win. That's why. After the 70s and 80s, where they brought it, yes, it is.
I don't know if it is, Sam.
Yes, it is. Don't fuck I don't care if I sound biased. Yes, it fucking is, dude. You gotta You gotta win 16 games to win your fucking trophy. 16. You gotta win 16 fucking games.
That's up for debate.
Okay, which other sport is which trophy you think is harder to win?
Baseball is extremely hard. Extremely hard.
Okay, I think the Stanley Cup is slightly harder to win.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I don't think, like Sammy said, 16 right. games, and that's a great Joey, you're not far off. I'm not saying that it's that easy, and I know that baseball does have a tax on the body, but I think there's an even higher tax on the body.
I'm not saying longevity. Tax-wise.
You have to have luck. You can't get injured. Like hockey and the Stanley Cup is on another level. There are so many different factors that play into it.
But same with Super Bowl. You have one game. The NFL, you have one game.
You have 16 games to stay healthy.
Yeah, but you're the New York Yankees. All you have to do is open up your wallet. Money only.
That's a bad argument. When was the last time they won? Go check.
But if they're not open, if they're not picking the right manager, if they're not fucking picking the right player mix, if they're not doing the right things to complement one another, I'm just saying between hockey just has the most regulations, probably one of the most physically grueling schedules in the playoffs. You have to win 16 times over. Baseball is a good mention. It's a good comparison, but I still think hockey takes the cake. The Stanley Cup takes the cake by far. in terms of how hard it is to win. Every sports analyst
says the Stanley Cup is the hardest.
Sam, new debate to post on Instagram. Hardest sport to win. Let's see what the votes say.
Okay, out of the four North American sports?
Yeah.
So the NHL, MLB, NFL, NBA?
Yeah, put NBA. It's going to be last NBA, but yeah, because NBA, you can win 4 or 5 in a row. That's, I mean, it's not, but I would.
So listen. Let's just end the debate on. It's a very good discussion. Who is going to be that next top six forward that could help us, and whether that player is going to get paid more than Suzuki Caulfield? Like, I actually like that talk because. But at the end of the day, it comes down to where management, Hughes and Gorton, see this missing piece. It comes down to what role they want this player to do. And Marty's in the equation, too, of making that decision. Okay? So, okay, Chris, go, Chris.
No, because I think you just said something that, like, lit the light bulb up. If they get a player like Lindstrom, then they're going to trade for a guy that has the talent more like a Demidov. If they get a guy like Demidov, then they're going to trade for an offensive guy
who's
a little bit more physical. So either way, there's draft and trade. And the only thing that we have to start praying for is in unison is that we don't end up with a defenseman because we have far too many defensemen.
So you predict that even if they draft Caden Lidstrom, they still have to trade for one more forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hmm.
There are two forwards that are missing. We have a lot of fringe second line players, but are they second line players that are going to win you a cup? Or potentially, let's make the argument. I do not want to take apart the Caulfield, Suzuki, and Slavkovsky line. I do not.
No, I don't.
But
I
in
want
the eventuality, yeah. if that's something that might happen, if and one of those players, either Caulfield or Slavkovsky, drops down, I'm just saying that. You're missing another. I think you're missing two wingers. The only other option is if you have another centerman and you put Kirby Dach on the wing. But I don't think any of us want Kirby Dach on the wing. So we're missing two.
But can you imagine a line of Kirby Dach and Caden Lidstrom?
Who's your third? I think that's the debate.
Who's your third what?
On that line.
I'd put Newhook. I'd put Speed on that line.
That's where I'm saying trade. That's where I'm saying we need a trade. We're missing the one person. Like I like Alex Newhook. I like even Joshua Roy. I'm just saying they're not ready for the second line, not yet. And I think they will be the second line players, like top six forwards on a Stanley Cup winning team. I think
Chris,
they're
fantastic. You never know. Line players. You never know prospects who can be later bloomers or just come up unexpectedly to take that spot.
And don't forget, we still have another first round pick. Huh? We're just waiting to see who loses this series before we officially know what pick Winnipeg is going to land on. It's going to be between picks 24 and 27.
Yeah.
Don't forget, there's that too. So
are you sure? Are you sure it's not picks?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yes. Yeah. If Dallas loses and if Florida loses, which I don't think they will, anyways, no matter what happens, this pick is going between 24 and 27.
As you're giving us a tour around the house,
17.
Yeah.
There's no possibility of like 17, 18.
No, because Winnipeg was one of the best, not one of the best teams in the league, but one of the better teams of the league. So it's not based off of
playoff losses or wins or whatever.
It's about your ranking and when you get eliminated. So don't forget, there's still that pick too that they could pick a forward. Or
yeah,
maybe
but Sam, to rely on a late first rounder to be your top six is really a gamble.
Okay, but it's not. It's give yourself a chance. Give yourself a
better
chance. What if Philip Machar turns out to be a fucking amazing second line winger?
That's what I'm saying. We still don't know from the prospect pool what guys like. You still have Farrell. I don't think he'll be a second
liner. I don't think Farrell's going to be an NHL.
Machar, Juan, all that. You don't know who might emerge out of all of them and be better than what everyone expects.
Here. Let me give you this. I truly believe one day we are going to see a third line of Owen Beck, center, Joshua Roy on the right, Joshua Roy on the left, Philip Mishar on the right. Second line, for now, I see Kirby Dach, Caden Lidstrom, and I actually see Alex Newhook on the right, even if he's a left-handed shot.
They might sign somebody. They might sign like a 28 to 30-year-old UFA.
Possibly. Yes, possibly. You know what I see as a fourth line? This might be a good grinding line. I see, depends what happens with Jake Evans. Maybe he stays. Maybe he doesn't. I see an Oliver Kapanen center with your left wing and your right wing is going to be Luke Tuck and Florian Jacki. I see that as a fourth line. That's a big fourth line. That's a grinder's fourth line.
I think
that could be a playoff fourth line that causes trouble.
Yeah, to your point, Sam, I think when the Canadians are going to, and this is possibly, but I think when they're going to be playing for the Cup, I think Owen Beck is going to be your fourth line center. I think Jake Evans is going to be moved or elsewhere. And I think everything that you just said, I'm in agreement, but I'm just saying, I think Alex Newhook might end up being that third line center with, again, Joshua Roy and Philip Mishar. I that's just the way I see it.
Yeah, but Oliver Kapanen is really turning heads.
Oh, yeah, nothing against. I'm just saying, like, I think NHL ready, timing, everything falls into place. I'm just saying, if Slafkovský, Suzuki, and Caulfield, I'm going to do this exercise again. We lost, I think, 42 games by one goal. I don't know how many of them in overtime. If Slafkovský plays the way he did in the second half of the season, that alone changes the outcome of a lot of games. So let's say 25% of those 40 games, let's say 10 extra games that you win in regulation, you get 2 points rather than 1 point, and you even take away points from another team. That's one. Number two, if you have, Lindstrom with Dach, and we actually go ahead and get another top six forward by a trade, I think Harris, that's one thing even for myself, I have to look myself in the mirror. I think we undervalue Harris. I think there are a lot of players in this league and a lot of GMs and coaches that have a high degree of respect for that player. I think we could get something special for him. Is that going to be the guy who's going to end up replacing on the second line? You're going to have to give more than Harris, but I'm just saying, first line plays well. We win a percentage, let's say 20 to 50% of the games that we lost by one goal, we actually win them. So we have an established top six, win those 50%. Everything's in place. I think we can be competitive in terms of getting into the playoffs, squeaking into the playoffs. And then you have Owen Beck, who's probably going to be at that point in time called knocking on Jake Evans' door to replace him. And that's why I say with confidence, I see the third line that you said just replace, put Alex Newhook, get a better second line right wing, have Owen Beck on that third line with those powerhouses, and we're going to the playoffs, baby.
Sounds like a perfect spot for Mitch Marner. Just saying.
Mitch the bitch. I do not want him.
Mitch the bitch.
No.
We need a guy.
Joey. I don't like him. I hate him. Out of all the Leafs players, I hate him the most.
Even over underperforming Matthew. We'll have this debate offline, but that, I don't know. Matthew.
Put Marner in another jersey. I'll like him. I want someone who's not afraid. I don't want a perimeter player. Marner is a perimeter player in the playoffs. I'm sorry. The best player for the Maple Leafs, I don't even know why we're talking about them, was Nylander and Nyes. That's it. Okay.
I just think there's a problem with that dressing room. I think these players and the coach, different teams, different jerseys would fucking kill it. I think Marner and Matthews in a different jersey will be fucking superstars. I don't know why we're talking about the Leafs.
Matthews is already
a superstar. He had a coach like Marner.
Not in the playoffs. Not in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know, but
he's not a playoff guy.
I think the coach was the problem. And they got rid of him, but it's fuck the Leafs. I want to say this, Chris. Everything you said earlier. Yeah, you're right. Whoever they get needs to make this power play better.
100%. Well, don't forget our good old friend Lane Hudson. that guy is going to be our number one power play. Another thing that I haven't even factored in. Lane Hudson coming is going to completely change the power play on top of, let's say, Slafkovský playing better, having a stronger team, the younger kids being that much older. Lane Hudson changes the power play. Your percentage is going to go up by at least 5 to 10%. It's going to be an extra goal, maybe an extra 2 goals per game on average that we're going to score more. Montembeau should be better. Jacob Fowler, there are a lot of well-established people within the hockey world who are saying he's a lot closer than we think. Like, there's so many different things. We're talking in ifs, but I'm just saying there are so many different ifs. Even if half of them pan out, this team is going to get very competitive very quickly. They're not there yet, and they still, even if they play above expectations, I still think they're a fringe playoff team. But I'm just, nevertheless, this team is going to grow and get better far more quickly than we think. I say that with confidence.
But when Zook was tired of hearing Chris,
he just bounced. Let's end this here. But which player, out of all the ones that we named, which player makes this team better on the power play?
Nate Hudson.
No. The forwards that we will hopefully stay select.
Prospects?
Demidov, okay. Yeah. I agree.
Demidov, number one. If he's selected?
I guess you can say...
Zane Perrek.
Defenseman... If you're talking about just making the power play better, it would have been him. Yeah, Zook made a good call.
Yeah.
He's apparently a specialist on it. I mean, I haven't seen enough film, but when you get comparisons to putting up Erik Karlsson numbers,
if they select Zane Perrek, now all of a sudden Logan Mailloux's spot is threatened.
The guy hasn't even played.
Or is David Reinbacher's spot threatened?
I don't see Reinbacher.
Reinbacher's spot is threatened, I will curse Hughes.
For
the longest time. No,
I do not see Reinbacher. I don't see Reinbacher as a hub.
Think Reinbacher is going to get traded for?
He's a trade bait. He's a big trade bait. Hold on, Joey.
I disagree.
If Anthony is right, I will be more pissed. I will.
And what happens if we get him for a top forward? What happens if you get him for a top forward?
What?
What happened?
Why it won't happen? The guy hasn't played a game.
There's a reason why they overlooked like some general, like super high skilled forwards for this guy. I have to believe that. Otherwise, I'm not sleeping for the next 5 nights.
Because if you trade Reinbacher, it doesn't look good. I'm sorry.
Danny Briere wanted Reinbacher. The Nashville Predators wanted Reinbacher. So there has to be a reason why they picked him. I mean, look at the fucking goal he scored in his first North American professional game. With Laval. This kid's good.
Yeah.
He's good. Guys, I'm telling you, we're picking a forward. I don't care if it's a defenseman.
We should be.
We're picking a forward, okay? Like, I feel it. And you know what? I'm making this announcement. We are going to go live draft night. The 2024 NHL entry draft. We are going to be live on YouTube. And I swear to God, Joey, if you fucking bail on us, I swear to God, I will personally drive to your place, put the camera on, and I will grab you by your throat, okay? And if, you better not fucking bail on us again, Joey.
When is it? June 28th?
Okay.
When is it?
I swear to God, you could hate
I will not bail. I mean, part of it was show. We know that. Like, I was upset, but no.
It was funny at first. The more I think about it, you abandoned us, Joey.
Oh, stop. You guys left.
You're a terrible teammate. No teammate would abandon his fucking guys like that, Joe. You don't leave your boys hanging like that. I don't care if you're ready to get laid, okay? You don't do that.
Sam, if it is.
Rose before, you know what?
Can I like a crazy ass topic has nothing to do with anything about what we've just been speaking about? Can I just start it, or you guys want to finish?
Have you guys seen the
Utah name predictions, or even the votes
of how bad they are?
How horrible they are! The Outlaws. Imagine.
No, like, do you have the list in front of you? There was one of them I liked. Can you name them?
Okay, yeah. It's horrible. Utah Frost, Utah no. HC,
Utah what? What's
it? HC?
No, hockey club. No,
Utah Powder, Utah Mountaineers.
No,
Utah Mountaineers. No. Utah Freeze.
No,
Utah Mammoth.
Mammoths. Utah Mammoths. Yeah, okay. For Mother's
Utah
Day.
Utah Black Diamonds.
Utah Bombers is the one.
Utah Blast?
No.
Utah Caribou?
I had a Utah Blast last night.
Caribou.
Utah Blizzard.
What did it taste like, Zook?
So Utah
Blizzard? I like the Blizzards. I like Blizzard.
Utah Swarm?
No.
Utah Hive?
No.
Utah Outlaws?
Yeah.
Utah
Outlaws. The Outlaws is like bandits. Like, it's pretty cool.
Okay, it's not bad.
The Utah Squall?
No.
Utah Furry?
No.
Utah Glaciers?
Glaciers. Anthony, how the fuck did you pass high school?
I'm still wondering where I am. Utah Canyons, Utah Venom, and Utah Ice.
Venom is not bad. You can have your first like snake jersey in the NHL.
I'll take the Blizzard or the Outlaws.
Yeah, Blizzard or Outlaws. Yeah.
I think Anthony should name them and announce it to everybody.
Yeah, the Utah Mamas. Yeah, okay. Oh, my goodness. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there. Or to all the mammoth moms out there.
I'm fucking tired.
That's another blooper for
Joey.
Furry
right legs.
Oh, Sam, you better clip this. Yeah,
I will clip this. Yes, I will. All right, guys, I think we could call it a night.
Yeah, it's perfect ending by Anthony.
Thanks for that. You made us laugh. Go watch Colorado versus Dallas. I can't see the score.
Who do you guys say wins? I think it was 0-0. I left it.
Who wins the series or who wins the game?
The game.
I think Colorado has to push. If they push tonight, they win the series.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Chris. Yeah. Well,
McKinnon stands in front of the room and he just says, "We win tonight, guys. We're taking the series." So, I don't know, gut feel.
Well, you want Colorado. Colorado wants to win at home, obviously. But I agree with Chris on that. I think Colorado takes this. They have to. All right. Is that it, boys?
Mamas.
Thanks for all
it's the story mamas. She wrote.
Call this episode the Utah Mamas, please.
The Utah Mamas. Yeah, no. But I'll try. Maybe we can make a session out of this. Yes, once again, to all the mamas out there, hockey moms and all the mammoth moms out there, happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all that you've done and what you continue to do for us stupid sons.
Speaking of sons, it's like your father today.
Yes. Okay. He's my father. Yes. Speaking of sons.
I just wanted to say it.
Thanks for that, Anthony. Truly appreciate it. Listen, that's it. Thanks to you all for tuning in to another episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. Please click like and subscribe. It is free. Tell your friends about us. Help us spread the love like the Utah moms out there. And all our other episodes are available on podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. Instagram, Twitter is where you will find us. You can conversate with us, interact with us. We'd love to get conversations going about this team and the NHL, especially during the playoffs. Enjoy the rest of these playoffs, by the way. The second round is looking very interesting. We will be back to discuss third round matchups when the time comes. Gentlemen, wish your mamas a happy Mother's Day for me. I hope they are doing well. Enjoy the Sunday. Enjoy your Mother's Day. It's supposed to be a beautiful day.
No, it's not.
I haven't checked one. Oh, well, fuck me then. Okay. Well, enjoy the rain anyways. Happy Mother's Day, gentlemen. Thanks again. Until next time.
Bye
Mama.
Now.
Good night. Just...